This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Save a Pooch on Pet Life Radio. I am Beverly Isla, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Today's episode will explore the powerful synergy between technology and compassion in revolutionizing dog adoptions. Now, we will be talking to Rescue Spot founder Nicole Patrick about how tech platforms, social media, apps, and other out-of-box strategies can transform shelter-to-home connections for dogs in need. So when we get back from these messages, we will hear from Nicole.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Save a Pooch. We are talking with Nicole Patrick, founder of Rescue Spot, about embracing technology to increase dog adoptions. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me. Now, to give the listeners a quick note on what Rescue Spot is, it's a new pet adoption platform that simplifies, streamlines, and standardizes the entire pet adoption process for both adopters and rescue organizations while connecting the two. So I really, really, really love that you're touching on technology because I could be a tech nut sometimes. So Nicole, can you share the story behind the creation of Rescue Spot? Like, what inspired you to start this journey? Because it's not exactly the easiest journey.
No, it's not. And it was an interesting journey that brought me here. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. Very excited to be here. And yeah, so the way that I started Rescue Spot was just my entry into, I guess we'll start with my entry into the rescue world. Growing up, I was an actor. I was really interested in animal welfare. I sort of, as a child, wanted to be a veterinarian, but my family worked in film. So I started acting in film and TV at like 10 years old. When I graduated from high school, I still really had a pull of wanting to work with animals, but I was at that time doing a lot of TV shows and movies. And so I was unable to volunteer at shelters or really help out in the traditional way that someone who wanted to help with animals would do if they weren't committing their whole life to like being a vet or something. So in my free time, I started a little charity that tried to convince people that instead of buying a pet from a fancy pet store on the Upper East Side in Manhattan or in LA, that I could find like the same kind of a pet for them in a shelter. This was in 2009. So it was when, you know, the designer pups were super popular and the tiny teacup Pomeranians and Chihuahuas were all over the place. You know, I started to learn a bit about pet stores and puppy mills and how terrible they were. And I heard so many horror stories from friends who bought a pet from a pet store and then the pet was super sick. I ended up going through the same experience. I had been trying to rescue a pet from a pet store. She was super sick. I tried to bring her to the ASPCA and she ended up with me in the ICU at a pet hospital for like 3 months. So, you know, I found out about pet stores. I started this little charity and what it was me and all of my free time trying to help people find adoptable pets in shelters. And I thought, okay, well, there's tons of adoptable pets in the shelters. This should be pretty simple. And I quickly learned that it is very difficult to adopt a pet. You have to fill out so many adoption applications, and then you have to wait weeks to hear back from the rescue or shelter, at which point 9.5 times out of 10, the pet has already been adopted. And usually the listing that you saw online was super outdated and the pet had been adopted months before, but the rescues are so busy, they're just not able to keep them up to date and listings up to date. And so for this charity, I probably had like 15 people in a year or 2 years that I was trying to help and probably filled out, I don't know, maybe 15,000 pet adoption applications, like an insane amount of applications. Every single day, every free minute that I had, I was just filling out applications, trying to get pets adopted. I got about 15 pets adopted. I had many more clients than that, but it was very, very, very unsuccessful. It was just like a complete disaster because
that ratio is horrible.
Yes, it's terrible. It's terrible because I was just, you know, it was like shooting shots out into the dark ether of unknown, of just like nobody ever responding back and, you know, just never getting anywhere. And so many of the people gave up to go to a pet store and it was a total disaster. But I really got a very in-depth experience of the pet adoption process, which most people don't get. Most people, you know, maybe they adopt 5 pets in their lifetime and they fill out maybe 20 to 40 applications. As adoption is getting more competitive, it's more, but, you know, people just don't spend that much time filling out adoption applications, and people mm-hmm. in the rescue world most certainly don't spend that much time thinking about adoption. So I really got a very in-depth view of the adoption process from an adopter's perspective, which most people don't really think about. So I stopped doing that little charity. About a year or two later, I decided that I wanted to pivot and not work in film anymore and really commit my life to working with animals. So I started volunteering at various shelters. Eventually, I started working at shelters. That led me to then start my own foster-based rescue in New York and Connecticut. And then I was really seeing the other side of the coin as to why it was so difficult to adopt a pet, from large organizations to small organizations. And that's because these rescue groups and shelters are mainly run by volunteers. They lack the time and resources and manpower to keep up with all of the applications that they're constantly getting, all of the listings that they have to update, all of the references that they have to reach out to and play phone tag, and on top of that, finding foster homes and raising donations. And those are all things that they're doing while they're also caring for these living, breathing creatures, which, you know, essentially are like toddlers and always are having problems and getting into trouble and, you know, really require a huge amount of commitment and effort and work. And so the system that's in place is sort of broken because you've got so many people, especially nowadays after COVID, that pet adoption is so popular. So many people trying to adopt a pet, and as cities and states ban the sale of cats and dogs in pet stores, that's just getting more and more popular. And rescues and shelters are just not able to keep up and they're ultimately unable to scale. So when I started my own rescue organization, you know, when I started my foster-based rescue, by then I had already worked at a few different rescues from large to small. I'd experienced all of the shelter management softwares that were out there and I was really frustrated. I was still spending like 30 hours a week between myself and volunteers reaching out to references. And they never, you know, no one ever answers a phone call from someone that they don't know nowadays. And it's impossible to track people down. And when you've got a cute golden retriever puppy or a very highly adoptable puppy, you can easily receive hundreds of applications within, you know, one day of listing that pet online. And so it's nearly impossible to keep up with just all of this work that can very easily be streamlined and simplified using technology. And I just didn't really see anything out there that did all of that for me. And that really made things easier. Everything out there kind of just made things a little more difficult for me. So I created Rescue Spot about 2 years into COVID, or about a year into COVID. I came up with the idea for Rescue Spot. I started just playing around with different concepts of it, speaking to a ton of rescue organizations as well as adopters and seeing, okay, what do you really want to see in some platform that does it all for you? And then we raised the money for it and we launched it. And what it is for adopters, they're able to go onto a website and see all of the adoptable pets in their area from all different rescues and shelters, and they fill out a one-time universal application that they can use to instantly apply to any pet on the platform. It's kind of like the Common App for colleges, but for pets. They're also able to apply to foster any pet on the platform. So nowadays, there aren't really many ways that you can find it. Yep. There's not many resources for fostering. It's like, okay, you've either got to go on Instagram or Facebook, or maybe if you can find a rescue that has a Google Sheets application to apply to foster. So on Rescue Spot, you can apply to foster. You can instant message with the rescue organizations. You can see the status of your application, if it's pending, if it's been denied, why it was denied. You can donate to any pet. You can see volunteer opportunities in your area. And then once you're approved to adopt or foster a pet, you can pay all the donations through the platform, sign all of the contracts, receive the medical paperwork, purchase pet insurance, everything from A to Z for adopters and fosters and for rescue organizations. It's total shelter management software. So they get a website style profile. We are able to filter through applications for them. So if they don't want to see any applications for people who don't plan on spaying and neutering their pets, they can check that off and not see any of those apps. They're able to see references. So with every application that a rescue receives, they get 3 to 5 verified references and reference statements, and just a ton of other things that simplify the adoption process for rescues using technology that already exists and is very simple to do. Of course, finding fosters and for rescues doing everything from A to Z with adoption and, you know, bringing adopters, fosters, and rescue organizations and shelters together.
That's amazing. It sounds so thorough.
We put a lot of research.
Oh, I bet. Now, these rescue organizations that are on that platform, I'm assuming they would obviously have to be a partner in it, correct?
Yep, exactly. So just like a rescue might advertise their pets on Pet Finder or Adopt a Pet, it's the exact same thing with Rescue Spot.
Okay. And obviously the difference is you seem to cover a lot more bases.
Yeah, especially for the adopters, just giving them more support with the adoption process, and then for rescues with the shelter management software.
Awesome. Now, technology, like in this industry, technology is a small slice and compassion is the main slice. How do you strike a balance between leveraging both and maintaining that human element in the adoption process if everything now is digitized?
Yep, that's a great question. So one of the big things, just as far as Rescue Spot and our technology, is the ability for rescue organizations and adopters and fosters to chat through the platform.
I like that.
Yeah, it really simplifies things, because currently, if you want to adopt a pet, you've got to email them, you've got to call them, and that just creates a snowball effect for the rescue organizations of everything getting clogged up and having to keep track. With the chat feature, it makes it a lot easier for rescues and adopters to just quickly speak about, you know, 2 or 3 things that they might want to know more about the pet. It simplifies everything and sort of clears up their inboxes. For rescue organizations and for adopters, it gives them an opportunity to actually speak with the rescue organizations and not just, you know, say, okay, I'm going to fill out this application, shoot my shot, and see if they get back to me. It gives them a chance to sort of speak with them. So that's how our technology really keeps that compassion. Outside of that, Rescue Spot as an organization, we really focus on engaging with our community and engaging with our adopters, fosters, and rescue organizations. So, you know, yes, we have this amazing platform with really great utilization of technology to simplify adoption. But on top of that, we really work to support the rescue groups that we represent on our platform. So we have a huge social media engagement that we do. Every rescue that joins gets a ton of different perks that we give them through social media and through different partnerships that we have with influencers, which I'll get into, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more later.
So you're basically doing promotions for them.
Exactly. Yep. And so, like, our goal is to, because of course technology can be super cold and super almost defacing of them as an organization and, you know, just, okay, here's a group of pets. Who am I going to choose? So we really want to support these rescues and make sure that people learn about them, learn about why you might want to adopt a kitten from one of the rescues that we work with, Baby Kitten Rescue, that specializes in neonatal kittens and special critical care kittens that might really speak to somebody. Or working with another rescue, Small Bites Rescue, who they have a lot of senior dogs, senior small dogs. So that might really speak to somebody else. So for us, by pushing all of the rescue organizations that we work with out on social media and highlighting what their special ingredient is, I think it's a very important and very useful way that we're able to keep the compassion with Rescue Spot, even though at the core of it, we are a technology platform.
Absolutely. Plus, with things getting streamlined, that will kind of lift a little bit of the burden off of the organization so they can actually come back to why they even started in the first
place. Exactly. And get back to adopting more pets and pulling more pets from high kill shelters.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we're just going to have a quick break. And when we get back, we'll continue talking with Rescue Spot founder, Nicole Patrick.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Save a Pooch. We are talking with Nicole Patrick, and she has some awesome project that is happening right now. So, Nicole, as organizations face challenges with the overcrowding of pets, as we just mentioned, or lack of volunteers, how can others get involved where the processes can be scaled or streamlined more efficiently?
Yeah, so this is sort of a two-sided question. For rescue organizations to scale things and to simplify and streamline things using softwares like Rescue Spot, just to harness the technology that's out there to simplify things like not having to reach out to references and being able to filter through applications can take a process that may have taken volunteers 30 plus hours a week and cut it down to less than 45 minutes by just saying, I don't want to see any applications that say this, this, and that. If you've returned a certain amount of pets to shelters, you know, you can get so many crazy applications with rescue organizations of people that are like, I've given up 15 pets and I don't have landlord permission. And so just being able to cut those applications out and use our technology to really get to the core of the best possible application for each pet as quickly as possible is one way that we do this. Another way, though, more for the general public who are interested in helping out and interested in giving their time back to rescue organizations when maybe they can't volunteer in a more traditional way, is really thinking out of the box. We see, you know, nowadays we see people who are pilots and they donate their time to taking rescue pets from high kill shelter areas and bringing them to rescue organizations where there might be a larger demand for them. Photographers who use their social media skills for photography to take photos of adoptable pets and, you know, make them zhuzh them up a little bit. You'll see the adorable like pit bull photo shoots with flower crowns. And those things really make a huge difference for rescue organizations when you've got good photos. So people using whatever their skill is, whatever their special passion in life might be, and bringing that to rescue organizations and shelters and saying, hey, you know, I'm really great at fundraising. Could I help you? Or, hey, I've even bringing your workplace into it. I've got an office place. Maybe could we do an adoption event and sort of puppy meet and greet there? When I was running my rescue, my father worked in film. And so there was a film set and I would always bring my adoptable pets onto the film set. And within 2 hours of bringing them, every single pet would be adopted. Every single
That's
one of
awesome.
Them. People would just say, okay, you know, I'm coming home with a pet. And, you know, there'd be extras coming, leaving with pets. Everyone was bringing pets. So if you're creative and you say, hey, I have a sewing group, I'm going to invite the ASPCA, local ASPCA or SPCA to bring all their kittens today and just have a little kitten sewing chat. That's a really great way that you can support a local rescue without having to donate the time that you might not have. Especially nowadays for the young people, we really try with Rescue Spot. We really try and utilize social media. So
yeah, you mentioned the influencers.
Yeah. So we team up with a ton of influencers. Gabby Epstein is our chief brand and social impact ambassador. So she's the head of this program. She's got over 3 million followers. She's passionate about pet adoption. She rescued her dog from the Asian meat trade. And she really, you know, wants to utilize her platform for good. And so she's the head of this program with us. She brings on tons of different influencers who all are, you know, have different niches, but want to use their platform for good. And I think that a lot of times it's difficult nowadays to find a way to do that without getting sucked into the consumerism of it, of like, okay,
right.
Well, I want to help out a brand and they're doing a fundraiser, but at the end of the day, a lot of the money is going to go to fueling people purchasing the clothing from the brand, things like that. So with Rescue Spot, the really cool thing is that at the end of the day, like everything, every piece of effort that these influencers are putting into promoting Rescue Spot is going into getting pets adopted or pets fostered and teaching their communities. So we have, for every rescue organization that we work with, they get featured with some of our influencers on their adoptable pet of the week. We also do influencer events each month. So each month we have events at different influencers' houses. Kylie Campbell is sort of the head of this and she does a lot of them at her home. And we've got about 15 influencers with everywhere from 100,000 to 4 million followers. We have a different rescue each month and they come, they bring their adoptable pets. We do a fun activity like puppy yoga or a spa day. And the rescue organization speaks about their group and what's special about them, how people in their community can give back, whether it be through fostering, through volunteering, through doing a photo shoot around the pets, through doing a fundraiser drives anything like that. And then throughout the month, the influencers sort of pump that content out to their followers and show their followers how that they can engage and support that rescue organization. So with us, I think really harnessing the younger generation that wants to give back has been a very successful route for us to get these pets out there, especially because so many people want to help. They just don't know how. And it's difficult. If you Google volunteering with pets in your area, there's 50 different sites that come up. They're kind of all dead ends or fostering. It's impossible to find, like we said, a streamlined place to find fostering opportunities. And so through using influencers and especially micro influencers too, that have a small, micro influencers are a great way to get in contact with communities and just harness the power of community through social media.
Exactly. And I find that micro influencers, a lot of their, I'm not saying all, but the ones I've seen, they tend to have more engaged followers than some of the mega ones. So that's awesome that you're taking like both approaches.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're so creative with what you're doing. I love that. The younger generation is, you know, they can bring a lot more out of the box ideas. I'm not saying that the traditional rescues are geriatrics or anything, but it's always good to bring in different decades of experience here. So that is super. I love it.
Thank you.
Now you mentioned you did foster, but starting a foster-based rescue is a huge undertaking. So you've done it. What advice do you have for individuals who are passionate about doing that such initiatives?
Yes. Yeah. It is a very large undertaking emotionally, financially,
yeah,
in just every single way. But it's also the most rewarding in my opinion, the most rewarding thing that you can do. So I would definitely say, do not go into it blindly. It will not. So often people want to do good and sometimes will jump before they think. And in this situation, it is not smart to do that. In some places in life, it's smart to just, you know, jump and don't look, not with this. I would definitely say volunteer. Volunteer with rescue organizations. First of all, if you're starting a foster-based rescue, you should be fostering a lot beforehand. Fostering with other rescues is an amazing opportunity because you, in a way, get to run your own rescue without the responsibility and commitment of running a full rescue organization. So it's sort of a mini crash course. So I would definitely say before you try and start a rescue in your area, you should at least foster 50 pets. Through doing that, you will learn so much. You will encounter so many different situations that are great. They're not to say that it's going to turn you away from it at all, but it's a way that you can encounter these situations that inevitably you will encounter on your own, but you'll have a rescue behind you to guide you through it and say, okay, you've got a parvo puppy. This is what you need to do. This is the cleaning that you need to do between the pets. This is the vet that we're going to send you to that we'll pay for, but we'll, you know, work with you on getting this pet back up to speed with their health. So fostering is an amazing way to start doing that and to start your journey onto working to starting your own rescue. Then from there, I personally would say that you should try and volunteer at a rescue in a higher position, something that you're not just going to walk the dogs, but that you're really in the day-to-day, more clerical sense of working in a rescue. If you can get a job beforehand working somewhere, that would also be a really great eye-opening experience. One of the nice things is that so many rescues and foster-based rescues are run maybe by one paid staff member or by a founder and the rest are volunteers. So you can get a huge amount of experience in a relatively short time just because you're probably going to be their jack of all trades and doing 15 different things at once for a rescue organization if you're working for them. So I would definitely say you're going to do, you're doing it all. Your mom, dad, sister, brother, everything. So definitely say try and work for them. And then just find a community once you're at the stage that you're ready to start your own foster-based rescue or any sort of rescue organization. Really get involved with your community. If you can find 15 people who will be rock solid fosters for you and that you know they will be there with me through thick and through thin, that's setting yourself up for a very successful rescue. If you can say, you know, just these 15 people I know and maybe 10 swings who, if a foster has to go on a vacation or if something happens, they'll be there to jump in and help out. You've got a really nice foundation then to be able to save 15 pets a month, 15 pets every 2 months, which at the end of the year is over 130 pets, which is a huge amount of pets to save. So getting involved with your community is another massive way that you can prepare yourself for starting a rescue of your own.
For sure. Plus, like the connections that you make within that experience, that'll be
exactly.
It'll be valuable.
Yeah.
Now, what trends do you see emerging in the field of dog adoptions? And clearly you've tied in technology, but how do you envision technology further playing a role in these changes coming?
Yeah. So I go to a lot of conferences that, you know, you hear hundreds of speeches of all these companies who've done very high level studies on technology and pet adoption. And I have to say, as more and more cities and states are banning the sale of cats and dogs, and now it's hundreds of cities and states. Just last week, Oregon banned the sale of cats and dogs in pet stores. It's a race for technology to catch up with the demand of pet adoption because pet adoption is just like totally in the dark ages still. If you want to adopt a pet, you've got to, it's such a fragmented process. So I truly do think that Rescue Spot is the most cutting edge adoption platform out there because you can do everything through us in such a quick amount of time. And that being said, like, I do think that whether it's through Rescue Spot or other organizations, I think that instant pet adoption is something that will become more and more popular. With millennials, we are the largest group of pet owners in the US. And if you know anything about millennials, they want to do everything on their phone. They want to do it instantly. They want to do it done yesterday. And so I think just we're going to see a lot of technology that pops up supporting the facilitation of pet adoption very quickly, geared towards young people. Another thing is like tying in telehealth. Telehealth is becoming huge. People don't have time to bring their pets to the vet. Honestly, they do have time for to bring their pets to the vet sometimes, and the vets don't have time to take them because we're dealing with such a terrible vet crisis. And so I think telehealth is something that I'm really seeing popping up and becoming more and more popular with Rescue Spa. Our goal is really to be the one-stop shop for everything to do with your pet past pet adoption. So you can come on, and in our next software that's being released soon, you'll be able to do telehealth through us. You'll be able to purchase pet food that we use an AI integration and scan the pet's medical records to find the best possible pet food for you, which is we're very excited about that. And also we'll be working with subscription pet food companies where you can get the pet food tailored to your pet's medical records. So I think we'll be seeing a lot more things like this where you can just bundle everything and harnessing AI and the little bit of knowledge that you might have from your adopted pet, because of course we don't always know that much.
For sure.
But just fine tuning any little way, instead of just, you know, at your vet, they might say, hey, use this Purina food. It's pretty good for dogs who might, you know, have glaucoma. Being able to use an AI integration that says, well, this food is good for dogs with glaucoma, but it's not good for dogs with sensitive stomachs. So this food is perfect for your dog. I think that's where we're headed.
That would be amazing. Question is, what are you going to do if the breeders are like, ooh, can I have a piece of your software?
Yeah.
That'll be a whole nother thing.
Exactly. Hopefully we get to the point that there are no more pets in shelters and it all goes to ethical breeding and we can, you know, we'll give it all to the breeders once the pets are out of shelters.
That would be fab. That would be the ideal. Well, we are out of time. I really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks to our show producer, Mark Winter, as well, for making the show possible. Now, where can people view Rescue Spot's platform? Is it so there's rescue-spot.com? Do you also have the app in the app stores?
The app is coming out in November. So the app will be in the app store then. But for right now, we are totally mobile friendly. So you can do everything on your phone just on Safari. So it's rescuespot.com or rescue-spot.com. They both take you to the same place. And then on Instagram, we are rescue_spot.com.
Wait, perfect.
That is totally wrong. rescue_spot.
We'll put it on the show notes. Yeah. It'll be on the show notes page. Now, your last quick question is, you're catering to primarily New York and Connecticut, right? So
no. So Rescue Spot is nationwide. We've got hundreds of rescues all over America. Yep.
Okay, cool. You're not in Canada yet.
Not yet, but next year we will be.
Yay.
Yes.
Awesome. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please email me at beverly@petliferadio.com. So until next time, spread animal compassion.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on petliferadio.com.